Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzei, Daf Lamed Tes. We will be on Daf Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph, three lines from the top, Tanum. In our previous shiur, we had discussed that under certain circumstances, Beis Din asks people to go take over the responsibility of field. Particularly, we spoke when somebody was, Chas V'Shalom, kidnapped. So says the Gemara, Tanum V'Kulam. All the situations where we had said that somebody should take on the responsibility of property for somebody who's not here, shamanam hem ka'aris. So the Braisa says, we treat this individual who's asked to take over the property like an aris. So ask the Gemara, hi, exactly what is meant with this? Ilayma, if we're going to say that we're referring here to a situation of shvuyin, that somebody was kidnapped, and we heard that he passed away, and we tell the person who's going to take over that to be responsible, there's going to be paid like an oris, like a sharecropper. He's going to get a share of the produce. Hashta, so we said in the Bryce that we learned yesterday, Zaris v'niskahava, that if he heard that the owners are Baruch Hashem alive, and they're on their way coming here. Says, we learned Zaris v'nisker. If he acts bezrizis, he acts quickly, whatever he will take, he will keep. My day ashbach. So is there a question that he could get like an aris? The halacha is, if he was appointed to go down to the take care of this asset, certainly he has a right to collect. Ella, we're referring to a situation which we spoke about also in our previous year, a situation of retushim. Somebody went in to take over the property and asked the Gemara, Mamitzinai Sumyadikatani. We learned yesterday that if somebody takes over property which is retushim, we take it away from him. So it's considered as if he didn't have any permission to go there. So how can we say that he is entitled to get like a oris? Ella, so the Gemara is speaking about the case of netushim, the halachi is that there he gets like an oris. Ask the Gemara, Laman, whose opinion is this, that is what the person who goes down to this property is entitled to? Ilema l'rabbanon, if we're going to say that's following the opinion of Rabbanon, the Rabbanan said that we don't let him keep this property. So it doesn't make sense that he should get like an aris. If we're going to say it's going according to the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, he said Shemati Shadin Natushim Kishvuyim, that Natushim are treated like Shvuyim. And by Shvuyim, we just quoted that the Braisa says that somebody who is taking over that property is taking over that property, and Harez Zaris V'Nisker. Says the Gemara, Kishvuyim V'loy Kishvuyim. To one degree, of Shimon Gamliel says they're treated like Shvuyim, but not completely. Why? Kishvuyim, on one hand, they're treated like Shvuyim, Deim Mitzino Sibiyodai. Somebody who goes down to that property remains with that property. And it's not like somebody who went to the property, which is Retushim, that we just said, Mitzino Sibiyodai, we don't let him keep the property. However, v'loy shvuyim, it's not exactly the same. Dila hasam, in the case of shvuyim, zeres v'niska, whatever he takes, he keeps. V'lo hacham, in this case, shemina lekaris, the halacha treats him like an aris. What is going? So there's a machlokes. What does that mean? That as long as the owner didn't come, what would be the halacha? So there's a machlokes rishonim. Rambam and Ramban say that until the owner shows up, they take everything. And when the owner shows up, we will deduct, and then we're only left with like an aris. That the Ravid says that no, what he took, and that seems to be the Pashut Pshat in our Gemara, what he took while he was there, he's entitled to keep when he was asked to take over this property. Says the Gemara, why is the halacha, when somebody is yored l'nichse shavui, should note that he gets like an aris, why is the halacha regarding, we know that a woman could bring into the marriage nichsimilug, and what happens if the husband worked on that property while they were married, and now they get divorced, what is the husband entitled to? Ask the Gemara, Maishna Malha, Mahadatanan, why is this any different from what we've learned? Hamaitse Itzos al Nichse Ishtai. Again, the wife brought into the marriage nichsimilug. The halacha with nichsimilug is that the actual property remains on the name of the wife, and the payris of that property are given to the husband for the duration of the marriage. And when the marriage ends, she gets back to nechsim elog, whatever they are at that point. So the halacha is, what will be if the Mishnah Masechta Ksubis, that Ayin Tesa and Beis teaches us, if a husband invested in the nechsim elog of his wife, Haitzi Harbe, he invested much, Vachel Kima, but he didn't pull out a lot. Or vice versa, Kima, he didn't invest much, Vachel Harbe, but he was able to pull out a lot. The Loch is Masha Haitzi Haitzi, whatever he spent, Masha Ochel Ochel, and whatever he keeps, he keeps. So we see that he only gets what he keeps. Why isn't he treated like an Oris, like we've been learning in our cases? Says the Gemara, Hole Damya, the case of somebody who is going down to the property of a Shavui is El Elaha Domer of Yaakov Amar Chizda, Hamoitzi Nechatzos Anechsa Ishtoi Ketana. The halacha is that midaraisa, a father can marry off his daughter. But when the Torah says a father can marry off his daughter, it's only a father. And like we've discussed in previous shiurim, even a father only gets that opportunity once. If he married off his daughter and then that marriage ended, he does, and she's still a ketana, the father doesn't have a right to marry her off again. And the halacha is that if a girl, Nebuch, doesn't have a father, her mother or her brothers can marry her off. But those are Kedusha Derabbanan, and the halacha on those Kedusha are that he only can marry, she can annul that marriage with Miyun. And now the question is, a girl goes into such a marriage, but we don't know, the husband doesn't know what's going to be the end with this marriage, because she may just walk out. And therefore, the halacha says Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Chisda, Hamoitze Etzos Anichta Ishtek Tana, if somebody makes investments in the property she brought, Kemoitze Anichta Echadami, is treated like somebody invested in somebody else's property, that we're learning the halacha is that he gets an oris. Why? Alma, Kim Dolei Samchidate. The person doesn't know what's going to be the end with this situation. Will he remain on this property or not? He doesn't know if his wife's going to stay with him or is she going to do miyun. And therefore, if we want him to be treat the property properly, we have to encourage him. And how is that? By treating him like an oris. That's why Kim Doloi Samchidati is not confident that this marriage is going to last. Takinale Rabbonin, we gave him, the Chazal said that he should get paid like an Oris. Otherwise, he's going to ruin the property. We're going to say, I'm not certain I'm staying on this property. Says the Gemara, Hochinami, in our case as well, the person who is being asked to take care of the property of a Shavui doesn't know what's really going to be. He doesn't know if the Shavui is going to show up and everything that he put into the property, he's going to lose. And because of that, Chazal said, they're treated like a shav, like an oris. So as we just learned, the Brisa says, the kulon shamlam ka'oris. So now the Gemara wants to know, who is the kulon? The kulon l'suyamai. The Gemara wants to know, who is included in the case of the kulon? L'suyay, says the Gemara, it's coming to teach us, Hadam Rav Nachman Am Shmuel, shavish nishba, if somebody was kidnapped, Marid Nikarav Nechasov, we ask a relative to take over this property. Yotza Ladas, but if somebody left and he knew he's going away, then the halach is Marid Nikarav Nechasov. There we don't ask relatives to take over. Because the person who traveled away had the option of asking for that. That asking his relative to take care of his property. The fact that he didn't means that he didn't want. From Nachman the day Omar, Bereach, in a case where somebody was running away and he didn't have the clarity to be taking care of his affairs. Hareyu kishavoy, and therefore we ask one of the relatives to take over the caring of the property. Ask the Gemara, Barek Machmas Mai, why was he running away? Ilema Karga, Machmas Karga, that he owed taxes, and he saw that he doesn't have the ability to pay his tax bill. Hainu Ladas, he knew what's happening, and he should have taken care of his affairs. Ella, the case must be Barech Machmas Mardin. There are a situation that he killed somebody, presumably in self-defense. And what happened in those days was if somebody was accused of murdering somebody and they felt that he had no right to do so, there was very little compassion and they just would kill him. And this person who's running away because he's in such a situation obviously doesn't have the time and the clarity of mind to ask somebody to take over his property. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shavi Shanizba, somebody was kidnapped, V'niach Kamar, and he has grain that's time has come Liktzer. Or he has Anovim, he has grapes Liktzer, whose time has come to be cut. Tamarim, he has dates, Ligda, that should be cut. Zaysim, olives, Limsoig, that should be cut. In all these cases, we don't ask a relative to take over. Rather, Bezdin Yardim and Chosov, Bezdin go down to these properties, Mamidim Apotropis, we ask Apotropis to take, an administrator to take care of these properties. And this person, Geitz or Baidu or Moisik, he takes off all of these fruits and vegetables that are ready to be cut because we don't want the relative at this point. Obviously, the administrator, the Rishonim point out, will ask somebody to take over the responsibility and have to pay him. And then, after this crap is cut, v'achkach meridin karvel n'chasov, then we ask a relative to take over, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're asking an administrator to take over, so ask the Gemara, v'loikim apotropa loilim. So why don't we just ask an apotropos to take over? Why do we get the relative involved? Says the Gemara, apotropa lo dekani lemekminin. People don't want to be, there's a number of pshatim. The simple pshat is that people don't want to be an apotropos for adults. For yusaimim, they're willing to be an apotropos. Posh pshat, there's a big mitzvah involved. Another pshat is that you're only an apotropos for yusaimim till they become gedolim. So it's not open-ended. But here, where we don't know what's going to be with this person, that's why the people are not agreement to be an apotropos. So that is a very big discussion in Rishonim. The Gemara says it's difficult to find somebody who's going to be agreeable to be an apotropos for the nechasim of somebody who's not a yosim. But what happens if there's somebody who volunteers and is agreeable to be the apotropos even for assets that don't belong to yosimim? So the Rashba says that then, of course, we're going to appoint apotropos. The Rashba says the entire concern is that we can't find anybody. But of course, if we could find somebody, fantastic. The Torah, quoting his father, the Rosh, says that even if there's somebody who's willing to take it on, the family members say that since the halacha says that the family member is appointed, we demand that we follow the letter of the law. And therefore, if the karv says I'm not agreeable, then the halacha is that we don't. We listen to the relative. However, if the relative doesn't protest according to the Torah, then of course he's appointed. The Nemuka Yosef, however, quotes the Ra that says that no, that the halacha is that under these circumstances we never appoint apotropos, even if the Yairish is fine. But one thing that the Gemara clearly said, that if there's fruit, vegetables, produce that's ready to be cut, we don't ask the relative until that point. And the reason is because we're worried that the relative is going to take, especially the way we learned the previous piece of Gemara, more than he's entitled to. He's going to take everything, and then the relative will show up and won't get anything. So since it's ready to be cut, First, cut it with apotropos. As I said, the apotropos will pay the worker to do his job, and then we'll take the relative. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Emarin Kotl Nechsi Shavi. Even if the person is a closest relative, but the person who's the closest relative is a cotton? No. V'loy karev l'nechsi cotton. We don't take a relative of the cotton to be the one to take care of this asset. Because what we're worried about is that this relative is going to say that he is the owner of the product, of the property. So we don't want to have anybody who can make a claim that this property belongs to me. There is, I saw, however, an interesting machlokes rishonim. The halacha that we've been learning over and over again in these shiurim is the question under which circumstances do we appoint a relative and which circumstances do we appoint an apotropos, etc. So the Gemara is saying now that we don't appoint a relative to be the one to take care of the property. We don't appoint the relative to be the one to take care of the property when he is as a relative. But what will be the halacha if he's appointed not in the role of a relative? He's appointed in the role of an apotropos. Can a relative be appointed in that role? The Rosh says that no, because we're concerned about what the relative may do or say, a relative should not be appointed, not even as an apotropos. But the Rajba quotes the Baal Iter, who says that we can. Moreover, the Rishonim say that this discussion that we can or can't appoint a relative is only when the assets are property. By property, there's always the concern that we mention that this relative will end up saying, well, this property really should have been mine. But in a case where it's not property, it's metatlin, it's cash, so there halacha is that we're not concerned. And I saw that the Sma explains why. Because when they ask an apotropos or a karev in our Gemara to take care of property, the Bezdin clearly writes a shtar that that's what happened, and therefore we don't need to be concerned. And then the Gemara says, "V'loy karev, machmas karev l'nitzikotin." Even if the person that we're appointing is not a relative of this cotton who owns these assets, he's a relative of the relative, we also don't appoint it. The Gemara will explain what that means. Says the Gemara, Emarin Katal Nechse Shavi. Now the Gemara begins to explain these halachas. We don't appoint a cotton to take care of these assets, even though the cotton is the closest relative, because we're concerned that Mamafsalahu, given that he's a cotton, he won't care for the property properly. Like Karv Machas Karv Nechse Cotton, Bachim Ima. The case was that Reuven had two wives. One had a son whose name is Chanoich, and then there's the other cotton who's in front of us, and the mother of Chanoich has another son from a different husband. That person who's a relative to the brother is also not appointed. The loy karev, the loy machas karev l'nechse cotton is in the case of Achi Mimai, because maybe he's going to make a false claim that he and his brother are the owners of this asset. Like Karl Nechse Cotton, says the Gemara, the Gemara says we don't appoint a Karev to take care of the assets of a cotton. As we explained, the Kivin Delay Machli, we know that the halach is that a person who's on an asset, we're going to speak a lot about this halacha mitzvashem, when we learn Masechta Baba Basra, could form a chazaka. And the way a chazaka could be blocked is by the person who asset you're on says that he's meichel, he protests. But here we're concerned that this person will not know to protest. The cotton doesn't know to protest. The loy machi oselak zukebei. Omer of a shmami nomad afuna. The rei machzikim nachse cotton. A chazaka cannot be formed on nachse cotton. A filu meshegdo. That means even after this cotton now is a gadol, and he doesn't know what was the status before he became a gadol. So even though this person was on this field after he was a gadol, it doesn't
it doesn't make a difference. The chazakah wasn't good. That's the way Rashi and Rabban learn, that if this person was on this property when the person was still a gadol, when the person was still a katan, even if now he's a gadol, and even if this person's on the property 3 years afterwards, it doesn't make a difference. The Rimi Gash has a different pshat. He says that if for 3 years the person will be on the asset after this katan becomes a gadol, then he will have a chazakah. What the Gemara means to say is that he has to be on it for 3 full years. And what he was on it from before doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, this that we said, that we can't appoint a cotton, a karev, to be take care of the nixi cotton, says the Gemara, Laimara achav d'abba, that when they have a relationship from the father, so since they have a relationship from the father, so this brother could say, I was the son who inherited this property. If the relative is a maternal brother, we know maternal brothers don't inherit, so less bomba, we don't have this concern. Furthermore, achid abba nami loyamarin, when we disqualify the achid abba from taking care of this asset, elaba aris, it's only in property. Because as we said, we're concerned that he's going to say that he's the yorish when he really isn't. Avo babati, but if it's homes, houses, less limbo. Because when there's homes, the neighbors know what's going on and they'll protect the interest of the cotton. And says the Gemara, Aris and Nami Loyaran, Edeloy of it itidah. This halacha that we don't allow the relatives to take over by property is only in a case where there is no document verifying that this property belongs to the cotton. Avil of it itidah, if there's a document supporting that this cotton got this piece of property. So now, kola islu, this is something that everybody will know about. And since this is something what everybody knows about, so we're not concerned that somebody else could take it. I did see another pshat. That pshat itata is that the person who was appointed to take care of the property, there's a document that says that he's only an oris. So since there's a document that says that he's an oris, and like we just said, that document also has a call, so everybody will know that he can't afterwards come and claim, well, I really was the owner of the property, I inherited the property. That document that says that he's only an oris will be able to disprove such a case. Says the Gemara. However, the Gemara disagrees. There's no difference how they are relatives, because we're concerned as soon as they're relatives, we're concerned that he can maybe make a claim that it's his. He's going to say that he's going to make all sorts of claims. And furthermore, loishna ara, loishna bati, it doesn't make a difference if it's just property or it's homes. Loishna avidita, loishna loivita. There's no difference if there's this document, whatever pshat document we learned. And all these cases, in our interest to protect the interest of the cotton, and we never allow any of these individuals to be the person appointed to take care of this property. Says the Gemara, Hayhi Safta, there was an elderly woman. Davle Tlas Bansa, she had 3 daughters. Ishtaboy Ivachadabarta. And she was kidnapped, she and one of her daughters. Vida Tati Bansa, and the other 2 daughters that are here, Shkiva Khadminayu, one of them passed away, the Shafki Nuk, and she left over a young child. And now the question is what to do with the assets of this Safta. Amar Baya, Heichin Navid, exactly what should we do? L'knimni l'nechsei b'yada da'achsa, should we ask the surviving daughter that's here to be the one to take care of all of her assets? Then we have a problem. Because Dilma Shkiva, maybe the Safta had passed away, Dilma Shkiva Safta, maybe the Safta had died, and now her assets are divided between the 3 daughters. But the daughter who passed away, her son is her Yairish, since her son is a Yairish. And also we need to be concerned that maybe the daughter that was kidnapped with her also died, and she didn't have children, so her nephew the son of the daughter who died owns half of her assets. So now we can't let, so he may be the owner of half these assets. And he's a katan. And we just finished learning, Eimer Reed and Karav Lenechsei Katan. We don't let a Karav take over the assets of a Nechsei Katan. Says the Gemara, Lenechsei, Lenechsei B'yad Adinuka, maybe we should ask the child to take over. He should become the owner of those assets. That also is not something that we could do. Because Demolosh Chevi Safta, we don't, maybe the Safta did not die, and he doesn't have any rights here, and we can't ask him to take on the responsibility for those assets, because we've learned in our shir that Eimer Reed and Katlan Nechsei Shovin. So Tosfos asks a question that the Gemara, Masech Gittin, and other places as well, teaches us that Hamevi get from Medina Siyam, if somebody delivers a get from Medina Siyam, V'nichai Zokin Acholim, and the person who gave the get when the Shliach left Medina Siyam was an old man or was sick, he could still give the get, and on the, because he has a cheskas high. There's a chazaka that the person is still alive. So the question here is, why don't we rely on the cheskas high? So Tosfos first wants to suggest that even though the halakha very often operates with the principle of cheskas high, it does not operate when somebody is over 80 years old. And here the safta was over 80 years old. But Tosfos himself says that that's not true. Says the Gemara that it's only, says the Ramban, by 100 years old. So we have to learn that it's that 100 years old, but the Ramah says that even at 90, the Cheskes Chai is not a problem. Moreover, from here we see that the fact that the Gemara had a discussion, does the ant become, can the ant be asked to take over? But the question is that she's a woman. So from here says the Ritva, that appointing a woman in such a position is not a problem. There is, however, a discussion between the Torah and the Sma, because we've been learning in our shir that there are really two different roles that are being played here. One is the role of an apotropos, and one is the role of a, and one is the role of a person who is a karev that's asked to take over the assets. So the Ritva wants to, so the Torah and Sma suggest that to be appointed as the closest relative, there the halacha is that certainly there's no difference between men and women. The question that we're discussing here is regarding, the question that we're discussing here is only regarding apotropos. And it could be for the job of being an apotropos, women are not appointed. So now we have a question, as we just finished describing, what should we do? Omar Abaya, Helkach, Palga Yavina Lanachsa. Half of this, we asked the sister, the surviving sister, who's here and alive, Baruch Hashem, to be take care of that half. Vida Palga, the other half, which belongs to the cotton, says the Gemara, we ask Mekmina Lapropel Yinoka, we have to appoint an apotropos. Rav Amma, but Rav disagrees. And he says that Migid the Mekmina Apotropel Palga, once we appoint an apotropos for half, the half that belongs to the cotton, Mekmina Apotropel the Palga, we appoint apotropos for the other half. So the Rajba says, from here we see that if we have an apotropos who's willing to take on the question that we discussed earlier, if we have an apotropos who's willing to take it on, we accept him. The Ritva says that that's not comparable. The case that we spoke about earlier in our shir is a case where apotropos, the halacha doesn't appoint an apotropos. In such a case, there are Rishonim who suggest we don't appoint apotropos, we don't appoint an apotropos. Here, it's very different. Here, we're going to be appointing an apotropos. The halacha tells us to appoint an apotropos. Once the halacha tells us to appoint an apotropos, so now everybody will agree he could take over the entire. Says the Gemara, as the story goes on. Then we heard that the safta passed away. So Omabaya. So now let's calculate what happens with the assets. Talasa Yavina Lachsa. So 1/3 goes to the surviving daughter. Vitelsa Yavina Leyanuka. And a third goes to the child of the daughter who passed away. Now he is that daughter's Yairish. So he gets her third. Vidach Talson, the third. Yavina Danka, a half of that, which is a sixth of the entire assets, go to the Achsa because she is the Yairish of a sister. Vidach Danka, and the other sixth, half of that sister, who we don't know what is her situation, but doesn't have any other children. She has a sister and a nephew. Makminal apotropos leinuka, we have an apotropos for the inuka. And here too, Rava says, Miga the Mak apotropos ladanka, once we appoint an apotropos for this, then the halacha is, we also appoint apotropos ladanka for everything else. Says the Ritva, what it means here is that we know for certain that the safta died. The Rashba seems to say, as long as there's a call that she died, this halach would apply. Says the Gemara, Mari Be'esek Osalei Acha. The Mari Be'esek had a brother who showed up. Osalei Acha Be'chazoi. A man came from Be'chazoi and said he was Mari Be'esek's brother. Vamali, and he said, plagli, I deserve a share in the inheritance that our father left us. Amalei lo yadanalach. So Mari Be'esek says, I don't know who you are. Asla kamei to Rav Chizda, and they came to Rav Chizda. Amalei shabba kamalach. Mari Be'esek said, when Mari Be'esek says, I don't know you, that's acceptable claim. He didn't know him. He maybe knew he had a young brother, but he never met him as an adult. And says the Gemara, that you don't recognize a brother is understandable. Shnev v'yaki Yosef es echov v'hem l'kirua. Melamed, we see that Yosef left b'loi chasim ezakim, or Baba chasim ezakim, and they didn't recognize him. So, because of that, his claim is a fair claim. So the Ramban asks that Zvulun and Yisach and Zvulun were the same age as Yosef. So if they weren't able to recognize Yosef, how did Yosef recognize them? So Ramban says they came together with the other brothers, and since Yosef recognized the other brothers, he also recognized them. The Yafei Tyre says the entire question of the Ramban is not really compelling. He says because there are other people, the people who look the same when they're young and when they're older, and the people that don't look the same. So maybe Yosef didn't look the same, but they look the same, and that's why Yosef was able to recognize them. So the Tveres Yonason asks, but the Gemara Masech the Gittin, that Chof Gimel Amin Aleph teaches us, how could a blind person live with his wife? How do we know that she's really his wife? So the answer the Gemara says is that there's a tfias ayin on the kol. He may not, unfortunately, be able to see her, but he can recognize his voice. So the question here is, why didn't they recognize Yosef through his voice? So he answers that tfias ayin and kol is only in the language that we know each other from. But here, Yosef was speaking to them in Egyptian, and they recognized his voice only in Lashon Kodesh. And that's what he says is pshat in the pasuk, that when Yosef finally reveals himself to them, v'hine einechem rois kefia medaber aleichem. What did Yosef mean to say with the words kefia medaber aleichem? He says that now I'm speaking Lashon Kodesh, and since I'm speaking Lashon Kodesh, now you'll recognize me through my voice. Till now, I wasn't speaking Lashon Kodesh, therefore, you don't recognize me. The Mefarshim ask that if we think about this entire episode of Yosef and his brothers, why were the brothers not suspicious that this is the brother of that this is their lost brother, Yosef? If you look at all the circumstances, that they were certainly reason to have a reason to believe that this was their brother, Yosef. And the Mefarshim say that even though the Gemara says, v'hem like Yeruah, there is no question, say the Mefarshim, that there was a tremendous level of Ashgacha Pratis. And since there was a tremendous level of Ashgacha Pratis, so that's why the Ashgacha Pratis was leading them in a direction that they shouldn't recognize him. I also saw that the Sefer Siftei Tzadik from the Pillar to Rav Zatzal asks a question. Rashi says that the Zivikunim of Yosef was very similar to his father Yaakov. So they knew what their father looked like. So once they saw Yosef, shouldn't they have recognized Yosef through his similarity to his father? So the Siftei Tzadik says, how old was Yosef at this point? At this point, when Yosef and his brothers, when Yosef finally revealed himself to his brothers, he was 39 years old. None of the brothers knew how Yaakov Avinu looked when he was 39 years old. He was older when all of them knew him. So yes, had they known Yaakov Avinu when he was 39 years old, the similarity would have hit them. But here, they didn't have that age. And since they never saw him that at that age, that therefore the halacha is, that's why they weren't able to recognize him that way. Melamed, again, Shiyotzeb, Alei Chassim Azokin, Babak Chassim Azokin. Amalei, so Chizda said to this brother, Zil Aisi Sadi, bring brothers to Achuat, that you are his brother. Amalei Isli Sadi, I have such witnesses. However, Dachlimene, they're very wary, they're scared to say testimony against Maribe Asik, the Gavre Elimahu, he's a very strong, powerful person. Amalei, the day, so Rav Chizda said to Maribe Asik, Zil Ant, now you have that responsibility, Aisi Sadi, to bring witnesses, the Lava Chuchu, that this individual is not your brother. Amalei Dina Hachi, is that the halacha? He says, we all know the halacha is Hamayis Mechavei Olav Araya. So this person is making a claim that he's my brother, and he wants to get a share of the inheritance, then how will I be able to, he's the one that has the responsibility. Said Rav Chizda to Mari Beisik, this is what we do to all people who are like you. Amalei, so Mari said, Soif Soif, Asasadi, he says, what's the point of me bringing Edom? V'lei Masadi, he said, I'm going to bring Edom, but they're not going to back to bring Edom to my fact. They're not going to want to say Edom. Amalei, so Terat Rav Chizda said, we're not concerned that they're going to lie. Tati Lai Avdi, we're not worried that people are not going to say testimony and they're going to say a lie. With that far, we're not scared. So Tosfos makes the very important point that does that mean that every rich and powerful person, we can never bring Edom against them? And Tosfos says that of course not. Here it's a very unique situation where Maribe Asik was very wealthy and he also was a very powerful person. And in fact, I saw that the Piskei Tshuva quotes the Tiferes Lamoshe that Dafka in this case, that he's strong and he's powerful and he's wealthy and therefore, and there's reason to believe the claim. So the Piskei Tshuva says the only time we won't accept, we won't expect testimony to be accepted is only, we won't say Amoitz Mechaveri Olav Araya is when we're saying it against a person who's very strong and where Besdin sees that there might be truth to this person's claim. And that's in general a halacha, that even though there are very clear halachas how Besdin is supposed to operate, as much as there are very clear halachas how Besdin must operate, Besdin also has to see what is right and wrong. And when they see something is right or wrong, that's what he was supposed to say, because at that point, they have to see that the truth be administered. L'soif asu sa'adi, so then ultimately Edom came and said to Achahu that indeed this individual is a brother. Amalei liflagli namimi pradise bustani to shasal, I want to share from everything that you planted. Amalei shapakamalach, his claim is a strong claim. The Tanan, the Mishnah, Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Mabez teaches us. Hiniach Barnim Gedolim V'Ketanim. If somebody left over children, Gedolim V'Ketanim, Vishbichu Gedolim as Nechasim, and the brothers who are adults took care of those assets that the father left and improved them, Vishbichu Lemtza. The improvements are divided amongst all the children. improvements are divided amongst all the children. V'chein Amar Rabba, Hishbichal Amtzad, the improvements are divided equally. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya said to Rav Chisda Midami, Hasim, Dolem Gabik Tanim, the adult children knew that they have brothers, and when they invested in these assets, Yodv Kamachli, they knew that they're investing, even though the proceeds will be divided with their young brothers. Hachi, in our case, Mori Ba'esek wasn't aware of this brother, that we could say that when he put in this investment, Miyadu Delechel, that he know that he should be, that he's doing it, even though he's going to lose half of them. Says the Gemara, Egalga Milsa, the question came to Rav Chisda, Umatl Kameder, this question, and the way Rav Chisda said they should do, was brought to Rav Ami, Amalu, and Rav Ami said to his Talmidim, G'daylu Mizu Amru, Shamalai Ka'aris. We give the prop, we've been learning in our shir that the person who's been working on the assets of the kidnapped person is entitled like an aris. Hashed the day. So now Mari Ba'esik, who worked on property, they certainly is an owner of that property. Lo Yavinale, he won't get compensated for that investment. Says the Gemara, Hadra Hala Kamed Rav Chisda. So they brought to Rav Chisda what Rav Ami said, Amalei, and he said, Mi Dami, Hasam, in the case of the relative that's been asked to take over and watch the property of the Shavui, Brishus Nachas, Bezdin asked him to take on. Hachla Brishus Nachas, he hasn't, nobody asked him to do this. Void of furthermore, Kotenhu. And this person who now ended up proven as the brother of Murray is a Kotten. And we've been learning in our shir. They maridin karv lakachse Kotten. So what Murray Ba'esek did was really not correct because he's a relative. Adrula Kamedra of Ami. So the question was brought back to Rav Ami. It says Gemar Amalu. And Rav Ami said to them that you're right, he said, Rav Chisda is right, because nobody made me aware that this individual who ended up being a brother was a katan. And in that case, Mari Ba'esik had no right to do what he did. And since he had no right to do what he did, therefore the halacha is very different, and he gets half the asset, and the fact that Mari Ba'esik put money into it is irrelevant. Our shir has been speaking, as we just learned, the difference between Yisraim Hu HaGedoylim and versus Yisraim Hu HaKtanim. The Achroinim discuss this question. We know that if Chametz was owned by a Jew over Pesach, that Chametz is considered Chametz Olavolav HaPesach. The question is, what's going to be the halacha if the Chametz was owned by a Jew, but the Jew was a cotton, and nobody took care of selling that Chametz before Pesach? Will that chametz be considered chametz halav, chametz shavol of a Pesach? And I saw that the Har Tzvi takes the opinion that it's not considered chametz shavol of a Pesach. Even if he has a apotropos who's taking care of his assets, and the apotropos, of course, should have sold the chametz of the cotton. At the end of the day, as we're learning, we protect the assets of the cotton, and included in the halacha protecting the assets of the cotton is included that will not be considered chametz shavol of a Pesach. And the Har Tzvi explains, because when is something considered chametz shavol of a Pesach? He says it's considered chametz shavol of a Pesach where I should have taken care of that chametz to sell it or to get rid of it before Pesach. Here, that's not the situation, because the cotton is a cotton, and we can't expect that from him. There's no level of responsibility like that from a cotton. Since there's no level of responsibility of that like that from a cotton, the halacha teaches us that the cotton, that chametz, which should have been sold, and that the apotropos certainly should have sold it, will not be considered chametz shavol of a Pesach.